You can find my podcast and other podcasts similar to mine on the Christian Podcast Community at podcast.strivingforeternity.org. You can find my podcast and other podcasts similar to mine on the Christian Podcast Community at podcast.strivingforeternity.org.
The Ear, Evangelical and Reformed, Christian Podcast. Welcome to The Ear, the Evangelical and Reformed, a Christian podcast that urges you to think deeper and draws you closer to God through faith. Through powerful sermons, teaching segments, and discussions, The Ear hopes to give you a different perspective on secular topics from a Christian worldview. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Please welcome your host, Brandon Queen.
Welcome back to yet another teachable episode of Loving Your Muslim Neighbor. This series is based on a book written by Timothy and Miriam Harris on their experiences while sharing the gospel among Muslim people. Thank you for joining us today, and we have the privilege of having Timothy Harris with us. How you doing, Timothy?
Great, Brandon. Thanks again for the privilege and honor of being with you and your listeners.
Awesome. Awesome. So look, we all make mistakes in our witness, you know, to people. We stumble, but we have the Holy Spirit to guide us through those mistakes. So my first question for you, brother, is this. Now, this question has been something I've been wanting to ask you for a while. And you might laugh when I ask the question, but who is our neighbor?
Well, of course, that's a pretty famous question in the Gospels, isn't it?
It is.
Yes, and it led to a pretty amazing story, a parable that Jesus told, of course, of the Good Samaritan and obviously of this man who was beaten and left for dead between Jericho and Jerusalem. And we've been on that road, and we understand why it would have been a dangerous place at the time for travelers. And so this man's beaten and robbed and left for dead. And so two very religious people just walk by him. They're either afraid or they look at him and he's not like them. And so they pass him by on the other side of the road. But along comes a despised by the Jews Samaritan person. And he totally helps this man who's been left for dead. Does so much for him, has compassion, and does things practically. And so then Jesus answers that man's question, who was the neighbor? And of course, the man listening and the others around had to admit it was the man who gave help to the hurting person. And so our neighbor really is anyone around us who is hurting, who needs Christ, and everyone around us is hurting in one way or another. But our neighbor definitely includes lost people and includes Muslim people. And so we are really commanded by Jesus to love our neighbors. And this, again, includes Muslim people.
Yeah, awesome. Now, just a couple of weeks ago, I actually preached on the Good Samaritan. So it is kind of ironic that I asked this question on this series. But it makes sense. You know, people have to realize, especially Christians, that our neighbor is not just Christian people. Our neighbors mm-hmm. are those who don't believe, because we were given a great commission to go, therefore, and to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That is our commission given to us by Christ. Therefore, we must, correction, therefore, we shall carry out that commission and that commandment because Christ gave it to us. So that's our goal, as Christians. Now, my next question. Do you know what Muslims or other religions believe? And should we study those beliefs so we don't have to make mistakes, but instead of mistakes, we make comparisons?
Yeah. So I think it's really good for Christians to Let me just say, get a basic, you know, a rudimentary understanding of the religion of Islam. And let me just say for your listeners, because I don't want to presuppose that everybody understands the terms or the definitions. Islam is the religion, and Muslims are followers of Islam. And so, yes, I think it is good for Christians to have at least a basic understanding of Islam. But I would also add that that, as we said in our book, you need to find out what your Muslim friend believes. How do they live out their Muslim life? And so that's why we titled chapter 10 in our book, One Size Doesn't Fit All. And so sometimes Christians get all proud of themselves and they think they really know what Muslims believe. And then they meet a Muslim who doesn't believe necessarily everything that the Christian thinks about Islam. And so we just say, get to know your Muslim friend, find out who they are, because just like people who call themselves Christians, there can be a wide variety, a huge divergence in what that looks like. So yes, get to know the basics, like the five pillars, for example, find out what that is, the five pillars of Muslim beliefs, and some other things, but don't rely on all that. Get to know what your Muslim friend believes, your specific Muslim friend, acquaintance, or coworker.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, with that answer in mind, the next question, it's going to be a little weighty one, and it's probably going to cause a lot of explanation, but we're going to power through it. So how am I listening well to a Muslim person? And how, by doing that, my actions are fulfilling the words of Jesus to love our neighbor?
Well, I love your question, Brandon. I'm married, and perhaps some of your listeners are, but you don't need to be married. You can be single to understand that one of the greatest things you can do for a person, one of the greatest ways you can show love, is to listen well to them. And so let me just share that we've traveled a lot to the Middle East. We've been so blessed to go to 9 Muslim majority countries. And one of our purposes is to go and join a group of Christian Arab people who have an NGO, and they help refugees who have come from war-torn countries. And most of these people are Muslims. And I remember after we visited 2 men from Syria and their family, we gave them food, which they really needed. And then we listened to their story, Brandon, and it's heartbreaking to hear some of these Syrian refugees, what they share about leaving their country, about losing their home, about the explosions and the rockets and the bullets, and seeing people blown up literally before their eyes, including family members, snipers hitting family members. I mean, and so we listened to this man and his brother actually share their story. And as we got up to leave, they said to us through our interpreter, "Thank you so much for the food, but thank you more for listening to our stories."
Wow.
Yeah. And that was really powerful to me. So they felt loved even more by our listening than they did by us giving them food. And they needed food.
Right. And I think there's two things that go with discipleship and sharing the gospel. And one of them is listening to the other person. And the second one is using your voice to speak the word of God. So In law enforcement, we call it active listening. And active listening is multifaceted. Like, for example, I'm listening to you right now, you know, blabble on. No, I'm joking. I'm listening to you right now, answer these questions, because yes, I have prepared questions, but you know, if I'm listening to what you're saying, I may come up with another question that leads us off into something else. Mm-hmm. But that's active listening, being able to listen and hear what the person is saying and basically meeting them where they are in mm-hmm. in intellect, if you will.
Yes.
So that's the cool yeah. thing. Now,
yeah, I've heard it said about some people that they when they're listening to you, they're looking at you so intently like you're the only person on the earth.
Yeah.
And I wish that I was that kind of listener, first of all, for my wife, as I mentioned, but also for others. But a Muslim person or anyone else, if you truly listen, they will feel more of your love and they'll be more open to sharing what they believe as Muslims and listening to you well about what you believe. So you've earned the right to be heard, as the old saying goes.
I remember when I was active in Boy Scouts back in 2010, I worked our national jamboree, and we had several scouting groups, if you will, come to our jamboree from around the world. And my position during that time frame was the international host. So I was, I don't want to say translator, because most of them spoke English, thank God. But I was the facilitator, if you will, among several international groups. And believe it or not, I got, I'm saying stuck, and I'm using that word lightly, but I got stuck or assigned to a Saudi Arabian scout group that were Muslim.
Wow.
And the cool thing was, yes, I'm not Muslim or seeking to be Muslim, but one of the things that they do is when they pray, when they want to sit and talk with you, they kind of ask you to take your shoes off and you sit on the ground with them. Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, I'm Christian. I'm not going to be a snarky Christian and say, I'm not taking my shoes off this, you know. No, I took my shoes off. I sat down with them. And they have some of the best tea. I don't care what nobody says. They have the best tea. They gave me some tea. And why in the middle of the summer are you drinking hot tea? But that tea was amazing. But anyway, we sat and we talked and I listened to them and then they listened to me. And it was a back and forth conversation on, you know, how one's country works. And we even dabbled on religion a little bit, but they didn't disrespect my beliefs. They did state that they acknowledge Christ as a prophet. So we had that in common, obviously, you know, but it was a back and forth conversation. And I tell you what, I grew to love those people. And believe it or not, I am still friends with some of them on Facebook today. You know,
that is a wonderful story, brother, man. I hope that your listeners really heard that. And, because you know, no offense, but you're not special. I'm certainly not special. But what did we do? We did what you're asking here in some of your questions. We listened.
Yeah.
We tried to listen well to these Muslim people, and it opened their hearts, didn't it, brother?
It sure did. And look, I know last week we talked about the Great Samaritan story, but look, listen to this. We have that story of the Good Samaritan where Jesus shows us how a neighbor should function toward another neighbor. Christ also lays out the guidelines of who our neighbors are. So with that, we're supposed to take that piece of information, if you will, store it in the back of our brain, and everybody we come in contact with, that's our neighbor at that given time.
Yes, amen. Amen. And we might make a mistake here or there with Muslim people, right? But
well, we're gonna get to that. Don't worry.
All right.
So that's my next question. Can you share with us the time that you made a mistake with your Muslim brethren?
We have made so many mistakes with Muslim people. Chapter 11 in the book, short story, Miriam gave it. This chapter, its title, which is pepperoni pizza a problem? So lots of words there that begin with P for alliteration. And so it relates to a story. I used to, in the very beginning of our ministry to Muslim people, I just felt like I should go to a Muslim owned and operated barber shop And, you know, barbershops, right? I mean, they're a happening place, man. That's where you learn a lot about the community, learn a lot about people, hear a lot of stories. And it was always embarrassing. I mean, I'm a pretty classic extrovert, but when I would walk into the barbershop, there would be, you know, it just like heads would turn, the guys who worked in there as well as all the guys waiting, because basically I was the only, you know, white guy with white hair walking into that place. But I remember once, and again, this was early on in our ministry, the things got slow in the afternoon. My haircut was done, but I was just hanging out with the guys, with the barbers, talking and learning and trying to listen well, as you said. And I remember one of the main guys, the boss, he was sending out someone to go buy pizza because things were slow, and that's what they do in the afternoon. And so I said, hey, let me go get the pizza, you guys. I'd love to do that for you. And so I was all proud of myself. I marched down to the end of the block, and I brought back pizza, and they quickly carried it off into the back room, and it disappeared with them, and I left. Years, Brandon, I mean years, like, I don't know, maybe 10 years later, my main barber, Palestinian guy that I love, I was getting my hair cut from him. He'd opened a new shop, and he said, Mr. Tim, do you remember that time you bought pizza for us at the barber shop? And I said, yeah, man, I remember. And he said, it was pepperoni. Oh, man, Brandon, I about died. I said, you're kidding. I got you guys pepperoni pizza? Well, for your listeners who may or may not know much about what Muslims can eat or not eat, Muslims are much like Jews in that Jews have certain foods they can and cannot eat based on, of course, Old Testament dietary restrictions. And so they call things kosher or non-kosher. Muslims call food halal, H-A-L-A-L, which the word means permissible or something that's not halal. And so pepperoni obviously is pork, and Muslims cannot eat pork. And so is pepperoni pizza a problem? Yes. And I made a mistake. But you know what, Brandon, this is the cool thing. None of those guys chided me, rebuked me, made fun of me. It was 10 years later that my barber even brought it up, and he just brought it up as kind of a joke. Yeah. And so we always tell people, really, really, you know, you want to learn as much as you can about some of the cultural mores and behavior that some of your Muslim friends practice. Get to know them that way. That's really important. But don't, like we say, you know, don't walk on eggshells. Don't do that. You're going to make mistakes in ministry to Muslims, and most of those mistakes they will be okay with if you don't make two of the main mistakes, and that is the mistake of lack of love for your neighbor. And then the other mistake that's so important is the mistake of not sharing the gospel.
Yeah.
Because and that's something we can get into later, but we're just so convinced that one of the greatest mistakes Christians make with Muslim people is that they build a relationship with them. And then maybe 2 years down the line, they say to them, hey, I just want to tell you the best news you've ever heard. And they begin to share the gospel. And what's going to be the response of the Muslim? Wow, if this is such good news, if this is about my eternity, why did you wait 2 years to tell me? You know, I could have died. And so, we're all going to make mistakes in ministry to Muslims, but let's don't make the two major ones, lack of love for them as our neighbors and lack of sharing the good news with them, the gospel.
Yeah. Amen. Now, now that we know that you gave pepperoni pizza to some people that can't eat pork, that's a problem. But here's what I find very interesting. Dietitians would tell you to cut back on pork. they would also tell you to don't consume too much of red meat. So when you look at the Old Testament dietary setup for the Jews, it was literally basically eating healthy. You know, and if you look at diets today, some diets don't have pork. Which I find very interesting.
Yeah, so, and you know, I think that if any of your listeners really get into a relationship with Muslim people and they're building a relationship with them, they need to know, like I said before, and you've alluded to it, some of these cultural things that are important. And we put in our book, in the appendices, cultural do's and don'ts. And so the whole idea of pork, you know, if a Muslim person comes to your home, don't feed them pork, don't serve them alcohol, don't, you know, there are just some things. Don't let your dog lick them because it makes them feel unclean. Don't shake hands with a person of the opposite gender. I mean, so there's just some really practical things that can help us not help us to avoid, you know, making some mistakes in dealing with Muslim people.
You know, and I find it also cool, you know, like if you're an evangelist and you're reaching out to Muslim people, or better yet, if you're reaching out to a different religious group, if you will, or culture, and their culture is to, you know, bow when you're acknowledging someone, you know, don't be this shiesty, stuck up Christian that will not bend to the religious culture, if you will, of the person that you're trying to minister to. Because what I find beautiful is if I approached that Muslim group of scouts and did not take my shoes off and said, no, I'm going to stand here, you know, and whatever, and I didn't stay and I didn't dine with them, what does that make me look like as a person? One, but most importantly, what does that make me look like as a witness to somebody I'm trying to preach the gospel to? So don't get it twisted. By all means, follow the culture of the group you're reaching out to, but you can still share the gospel with those groups of people.
Brandon, I absolutely love what you're saying. And going back to you talking about when you entered, you know, into that place where those Muslims were from Saudi Arabia, and it would have been cultural, right? The cultural norm to take off your shoes. And earlier you said you could have been a snarky Christian. And I'm so glad, brother. I mean, I think for your listeners, this is a huge point, because I remember well hearing a Christian woman one time. She said, she said, I won't reach out to Muslims. And I said, why? She said, they won't assimilate. And because she said, they just keep their cultural norms. They just keep things as they have done them at home. And I was just so hurt by that. And I have to say, I did kind of rebuke her, but I think she needed it, honestly. And Paul made it so clear, right, that to the Jews, he became a Jew. To the Gentiles, he became a Gentile. And so he was, when he was with them, he practiced their cultural norms, but not their religious norms. And so, yeah, you don't have to become a Muslim to reach a Muslim. We're, you know, obviously we're not saying that, but we're just saying things like take off your shoes. That's their culture. It's okay, you know?
Yeah.
And when we visit a mosque, I mean, I know it's a little bit hard sometimes for the Christian women, but generally the mosque will ask our Christian women, followers of Jesus, to put on a scarf. And women could shape at that and be snarky and say, hey, this is our country. You know, we're the ones that founded this country, as if we did. And be snarky and say, I'm not wearing a scarf. No, it's okay to put on a scarf to go into the mosque to honor that culture. You're not being a Muslim in that case. You're doing what Paul said so wonderfully in 1 Corinthians 9. Becoming all things to all people, that we might by all means save some.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and we sent my pastor to India several years back, and there's pictures of him, you know, adhering to the culture, if you will. But he was there to preach the gospel. You know, that was his reasoning for going to India. But I tell you what, you know, we can definitely learn from these stories. You know, it's not something where I can just say, oh, you know, well, I'm Christian. I'm not going to put on that scarf or take off my shoes. You know, it's against my religion. So let me ask this question. Are we preaching the Christ of that religion or the legalism that comes with?
Boy, such a good, thoughtful, provocative question, brother. Yes, let's don't be legalistic about our faith, right? There's a freedom in following Jesus. And part of that freedom is doing just what we talked about, what Paul said so clearly. There are times to take off your shoes or put on a scarf in order to bless and not needlessly offend our Muslim neighbors. And this is all about loving our neighbors. And so, yeah, again, I just love what you talked about. We could be a snarky, you know, Christian, but let's don't be that person. That when we're snarky, we're being kind of self-centered, right?
Yeah.
We're not, it's the opposite of being a servant, you know, and Jesus, you know, I'm reading about Gentle and Lowly, the book. And
love that book.
Right, the only description Jesus ever gave of himself, really about his person, was that he was gentle and lowly. And if we can remember that in our outreach to Muslim people, I think we won't chafe at doing some things that would, you know, help our Muslim friends see that we're sensitive to their culture and some of their cultural mores.
Yeah, absolutely. So look, about the culture thing, I want to touch up on this very briefly before I get to our last question of the day. Whenever we talk about culture, and I don't want to sound like a racist bigot when I say this, but this is a message to my white brothers of the faith.
Mm.
Whenever you are trying to preach the gospel, you know, we know that there's several misguided theology systems out there. Mm-hmm. And if we approach a black community of people to try to preach this gospel to them that we believe is so true, do not, and I'm going to repeat it again, do not sit there and say, oh, well, they worship like this. Their music is this. Their music is that. No, you embrace that culture. Because your job is to preach the gospel. And if you are preaching the Christ of the Bible, their culture will change to fit what the gospel says.
Yeah. Like, thank you, just, brother.
I get so angry when my white brothers of the faith do this.
Yeah, this is a really good and godly rebuke. And Christianity, and when I say that word now, I'm referring to a more biblical definition of it, of course, is not a white man's religion,
right?
I mean, Jesus was not white, right? He would have a pretty nice tan, and it wasn't just from being in the sun.
Right.
Most likely, he would not look like me. And so, yeah, I mean, yes, brother, we just, wow, we must love all people.
Mm-hmm.
And we must recognize the beauty in all cultures, right?
Absolutely. And that's why God gave it to us. It is supposed to be in harmony. It's supposed to be this beautiful masterpiece. And why am I using these collection of words? Because it is to glorify God.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, we are to glorify God and enjoy him forever together.
Amen.
Revelation 7:9 is not just a description of how heaven will look. It is also a prescription of what we should do on earth to start looking like heaven on earth.
Amen, brother. And I want to tell you, Brandon, it doesn't relate necessarily now to our ministry with Muslims, and which we're talking about in these podcasts. But I'm so glad you brought up things related to, you know, black churches, African-American churches. And probably 20 years ago, I was so blessed to be part of a racial reconciliation movement in our city And I was so blessed, brother, to speak several times in several churches that were predominantly Black. And I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. And yeah, we had fellowship because it was all about Jesus, right? It was about Jesus.
Right.
And that's what it was about. That Revelation 7:9. Yeah.
Yeah, that is exactly what it's about. And look, by the end of this series, we're going to start getting people to recite Revelation 7:9 because it is so tangible.
Mm.
It's like we can do it starting here in America before we even go overseas. And I'm not saying not to go overseas and preach the gospel. I'm just saying we can so attain that now, right now.
Yes, yes, yes. Right where we live.
Right. Absolutely. So look, my last question of the evening is this. You know, you've been in the Muslim faith or preaching to the Muslim faith or people for a very long time, you know. So at times when you are dealing with Muslim people, is your faith tested?
Is my faith tested? Can you kind of elaborate on that?
Are there times when you deal with Muslim people and, you know, you attempt to preach the gospel and you're at it for about weeks on end, and they're not budging, if you will, and they're giving they're giving you hell per se, about trying to preach the gospel to them. Like, is your faith tested in those moments?
Oh man, well certainly my patience is tested. Yeah, we put some things early on in our book. Listen. If you want to reach out to Muslim people, if God puts that on your heart, even as your listeners are hearing you and I right now, if that's something God calls you to, don't do it because it might be trendy, like you've seen there's a lot of books on it, or you think it'd be a great adventure or whatever. No, this is a hard ministry, and absolutely, Brandon, your faith will be tested, your perseverance, because there'll be times when you'll be with your Muslim friend and you'll be sharing some aspect of the gospel, maybe a Jesus story, and you can just see in their eyes, they're getting it. It's starting to sink in. You think, wow, I'm watching them be born again. And sometimes you'll watch them go ahead, you know, fits and starts, one step forward, two or three back, but they'll be born again. But other times you will literally spend not months, but years investing in a Muslim friend. And it just seems like, God, when are you ever going to open their heart? When are you going to crack this hard place so that they'll receive you? And so, yeah, man, it can be painful. It can be discouraging. It can be lonely. But I would say that to any of your listeners, it's worth it. It's so, so worth it, because when you do have the joy of watching a Muslim person be born again, there's just absolutely nothing like it.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it. I love it when, you know, I'm able to share the gospel with people that are in my close proximity, and you know, they're asking the questions that by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit that I can answer. And then even when I can't answer the question, they see my humility when I say, I don't know that one. Let me go check. Let me ask a few people. You know, this is not, oh, I know it all religion. I know it all faith. You know, be like me because it's not that kind of faith. You know, Jesus, Jesus came to serve. And that's it. He came to serve. He didn't come to basically say, I'm the man, follow me. Yes, he did say, follow me. He is the way. But he wasn't beating his chest like the Pharisees were when he did. You know, he came to be served, as in giving up his life for us so that we can be closer to God. So we are, in a sense, we're to mimic his lifestyle when we're dealing with people who do not believe in what we believe.
Amen, brother. That humility that you're talking about, because if we approach people in some kind of prideful, you know, attitude and make them like targets, that's not, like you just said, that's not the Jesus who said that he's gentle and lowly. And like you said, didn't boast about his greatness, as though actually he of course could have. But yeah, people can tell if we love them, and they can tell if we're approaching them with the truth that we hold to in a humble, kind, respectful way. And so Peter tells us, right, it's so clear, you know, set apart Christ as Lord in your hearts. And then that's first, and then be ready to answer, to give a hope, to answer apologia for the hope that's within you, to give an answer. What is the gospel? Yeah, but like you said, brother, I love it. We got to do it in a humble way. We want to do it in a courageous way, in a confident way, in a way that says this is truth, but it has to be wrapped in a Jesus kind of humility.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I want to end with that, because there's nothing else that I can add to make that sound any better. So with that being said, why don't you go ahead and tell us how we can find your book?
Yes, people can find our book, Loving Your Muslim Neighbor, on our book website. Our book is website is www.lovingyourmuslimneighbor.com.
Awesome. And are you on any social media platforms?
Well, I am using my real name, but not using my pseudonym, Timothy Harris. So no, the only thing that people should look for online with Timothy Harris would be our book website, lovingyourmuslimneighbor.com.
All right. And they can find everything through that.
Yeah, they sure can. They can find, I mean, it's a great website. It's pretty new. It has on it, someone can read the table of contents of the book. They can read the introduction and the first chapter. So they can get a good feel. They can read some of the endorsements that have been given for it. And so it's a good website for them to see what the book is about, and they can order the book from there.
Nice, nice. That is awesome. Well, look, that is all I have for you guys. I hope you are enjoying this series thus far, and I look forward to seeing you guys next week. God bless you all.
You have reached the end of yet another episode from The Ear. We hope that God's word remains on the ears of the listeners. We pray that this podcast would urge you to go forth and spread His good news to the world. Thank you for tuning in. Please don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. See you at the next episode. God bless you, and may His glory shine upon you.